What are you wearing? Who wants to know? The answer increasingly these days is no one. It's liberation, folks. We're all free. That's right. In just a few decades, we've gone from strict codes of dress enforced by narrow social norms or explicit dress codes to no rules aside from good advice here and there about how to deal with piercings and tattoos on the job.
There's always a way to hide your tattoos. I have friends that have sleeves that wear, like, body armor to work. There's ways around it. Things that, in the event that you do need to go to court or get a corporate job, they can be covered with long sleeves and a, you know, high-collared shirt.
Did you write that down? It's a hairstylist on YouTube, a helpful hairstylist on YouTube, whose name is Maybe Sailor, with some good advice for modern living. Today, our social norms are probably more likely to be enforced in TV comedies.
Hey, Meredith, can I talk to you privately for a second?
About what?
Your outfit.
What? What's wrong with my outfit?
You might consider pulling it down a touch. Trying up a little high.
Bunch of prudes. You know, Oscar's allowed to wear sandals, but I'm not allowed to wear open toed shoes. Is that how it goes?
Meredith, your boob is out.
Fine.
The Office, a TV show, not reality. And how has the American workplace been scoured clean of the gothic handcuffs and straitjackets of the old dress codes? Well, Susan Scafidi is founder and academic director of the Fashion Law Institute at Fordham University School of Law. Welcome.
It's nice to be here, John. Thank you for having me.
And I should say, for New Yorkers who understand that Fordham has a campus in the Bronx.
We are actually at Lincoln Center.
Right, 60th. And you are dressed for Midtown, not the Bronx campus, where you might be more of a jeans kind of thing, right, if you were up there.
In fact, the Bronx campus is right across from the Botanical Garden, so yeah, a little more casual.
Exactly, exactly. Did lawyers scour us free of employer-based dress codes that are maybe a little more draconian?
In fact, in New York City, we have taken a giant step forward. As recently as the 1960s, laws against cross-dressing were being enforced, even in New York. Today, the New York City Commission on Human Rights has told us that it is illegal to have a gender-specific dress code. That's for employers or any public accommodations. So those old ties that restaurants could make men wear, if you'd forgotten your tie, the nasty soup-stained thing that you would have to put on, is now a thing of the past.
So you don't have to wear a jacket to restaurants? Or if they say you do, you can say, no, 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 it's illegal?
Only if it is gender neutral. So if men have to wear ties, so do women.
I see.
Same for jackets, or the same for high heels.
Now, how did this go from being really a matter of freedom and civil rights to something that now is very, very casual? And as you can hear in the voices, people enforce their own set of social norms, and it's very, very loose on the job, and I think reflects the times.
I think dress codes have always been enforced by a combination of laws and corporate rules and social norms. But what's happened is with the wedge in from Casual Friday, starting perhaps as early as the 50s, but certainly becoming popularized in the 90s, we've changed a lot what we think about appropriate dress codes for work.
In 2010, UBS, the Swiss bank, and let's just say that banks aren't exactly trendsetters in the fashion world, right?
Probably not.
We can agree with that. They had a big dress code that got leaked to the press. And here's one of the strictures in there about wearing inappropriate shoes. Women should not wear shoes that are too tight-fitting, as there is nothing worse than a strained smile. That's a quote. You couldn't make that work legally in New York these days, yes?
Well, in a way, it's kind of generous. Please wear comfortable shoes. However, the way it's put is so condescending.
Yeah.
So no, you absolutely could not make that work today.
We got lots of responses from our listeners. I wear comfortable, yet beautiful clothing with flats. I gave up high heels and tailored suits over 10 years ago when I realized that my comfort level directly correlated with higher performance. I'm better able to focus on my work instead of fussy clothing that probably impresses no one in a way that I'm concerned about. In my opinion, I grew up. You want to guess what state she's or he?
Oh, goodness.
Emailing from?
Could be from almost anywhere. Perhaps California?
Yep, Texas.
Texas.
Atlanta, Georgia. I wear a work shirt and boots daily. The company just announced a more uniform attire for everyone who works in the field. You can opt out, but I think it will be mandatory eventually for everyone. People are already complaining. I don't mind. The company buys the full uniform. I'm glad to not have the extra expense of buying clothes for work. It's gotten more casual over the years if you don't interact with customers. What's the situation with uniforms?
Well, a company can still offer a uniform, but of course, it can no longer in New York anyway be a gender-specific uniform. You can have clothing that is more traditional for men and for women, but if the men choose the skirt, that's fine.
Are there any Brown versus Board of Education cases that really change the workplace?
Well, not so much for the workplace. There is a Supreme Court case about schools that actually said that students don't have to leave their rights of expression at the school door. And so it was about black armbands during the Vietnam War, and they said that students were permitted, in fact, to wear those black armbands in protest. However, in the school context, the primary rule is no disruption. So where Tinker against Des Moines in the 1960s might have been the high point of school freedom in terms of what students could wear, ever since that's been chiseled away because other kinds of clothing, ranging from T-shirts with political slogans to gang colors, have been considered disruptive.
And in fact, for teenagers, fashion statements are intended to be disruptive in many cases.
Absolutely. Ranging from a few years ago, girls wearing jeweled thongs above the waistband of their jeans to any number of other slightly too short, slightly too tight kind of fashion statements.
Here's someone, again, from Texas who seems to have run into reality in the workplace.
My name is Rory. I'm calling from Dallas, Texas. I wear jeans and T-shirts to work. No more wasting money on uncomfortable, dry clean-only fancy clothing.
Legal doctrine and a need for comfort are in parallel in our time, do you think?
They are certainly moving in parallel, yes.
And do you think that's a result of legal activism? Or really it's a matter of a very few cases that have been very, very important really being taken up by workers? Because I think in many places, employers are really sensitive about liability. Here, not so much.
I think the federal standard in the U.S. is actually not that progressive. You can have gender-specific dress codes so long as they don't burden the sexes unequally. It can't be more expensive to wear the men's clothing versus the women's or vice versa. However, I think it's been a combination of concern about liability, coming down too hard on employees, and simply transparency. Other than on sitcoms, there are no private conversations in HR anymore. It all ends up on the internet, as UBS learned, to its detriment. So you can embarrass yourself tremendously as an employer by appearing to be too retro in your dress code.
Embarrass yourself as an employer. Oh, boy, I know that feeling. Susan Scafidi is founder and academic director of the Fashion Law Institute at Fordham University School of Law on 60th Street in Midtown Manhattan. Thanks so much.
Thank you.